From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
And welcome back. And how about those Chiefs? After the AFC Championship game over in Baltimore. So I'm wearing the red today. And, you know, when you talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, you talk about some spokesmodels for State Farm. And when you think about State Farm, you think about Bob Watson, who brings you this podcast. We thank him so much for that. He's got a lot of folks on the team there, not just his staff. He's got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Travis Kelce, and they obviously got it done in Baltimore. If you need to get it done for your auto, home, life, whatever you need to have insured, you need Bob Watson on your team. He's got a team in Blue Springs. They all speak English as a first language, and they answer the phone. And when you need them, they are there, like a good neighbor. 816-229-7878. 816-229-7878. Get that rate reviewed, bundle, and save even more with State Farm. Okay, so, you know, since this is televised, right, because we're on YouTube video.
We are on video.
And Rumble. Yeah, so you can't see this if you just the audio only, but I did wear both Super Bowl rings.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
Did you just put those on? I didn't see those.
No, I've had them on all day. And honestly, I don't wear a lot of jewelry. I wear a wedding band because my wife will kill me if I don't. But other than that, I don't. I wear a watch. But these things are heavy.
Yeah.
And as I'm typing, it's like, especially on my left hand, it's like I keep hitting the wrong key because it's so heavy. But I have two from Super Bowl 54 and Super Bowl 57. And now I need one from Super Bowl 58. We'll find another finger. I got plenty.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I wouldn't want to be punched, you know, with those. They look like they would pack a good punch.
And speaking of punching, the Ravens did a lot of that.
Yes.
In the game. I mean, we have a lot to get to here, but, you know, I was watching that game, and all season long I've been saying about the Chiefs, catch the ball, don't turn the ball over, and don't make stupid penalties. Well, they caught the ball, they didn't make stupid penalties, right? And they didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
The Ravens did all of that.
Yep.
In fact, the stupid penalties the Ravens were committing were like, you know, let me see if I can punch Patrick Mahomes in the mouth and they won't give me a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah. I actually thought that one, I thought it should have been called, but it sort of looked like an accident. Like the guy was kind of, because he was about to pass it, looked like the guy was trying to get his hand up to get in the way of the pass, but he just hit him in the face. I didn't think he was trying to, like, you know, punch him or anything, but certainly the taunting penalty on Flowers.
I mean,
that was just insane.
Dumb.
For him to do that. And then, you know, he kind of got the payback with the fumble into the end zone. But
yeah, and Lamar Jackson, I mean, the MVP of the NFL, you know, all along the scouting report on him is if you can stop the run against Baltimore and make him throw like a real quarterback, you'll expose him for what he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw into triple coverage to basically end the game.
Yep.
With an interception. So the Chiefs move on to Super Bowl 58, and I hope to heck that they're already a 1-point underdog as we record today's podcast. I wish it'd be like a 7-point underdog because that seems to really get them fired up.
Yeah.
And did you watch the pregame show? Nobody gave them any credit whatsoever. It's like, why did we even show up to play this game? The Ravens are a complete team. There's no weaknesses anywhere on this team.
Yeah, I saw somebody on Facebook say, I think this is really accurate, that the Chiefs are in their villain stage right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they've gotten to all these Super Bowls kind of in a row. They've won two, and people are, like, sick of them. You know, people want to see anyone else win. It's like the Patriots of the early 2000s, mid-2000s. And, man, I made a post on Facebook a couple weeks ago, but this is like a case, I think, for Patrick Mahomes being one of, if not the greatest quarterback of all time, because for him to take this team that is really the offense he had this year is not very good.
I mean,
compared to what he's had in the past, and he just finds a way to win. He does exactly what is needed to win games when it really matters in the playoffs, you know, and he that ability as a leader, as a quarterback, as a player is like unmatched, you know, and it's really impressive to see, because I was one of them. You know, the Bills game, even the Dolphins game, I was like, that's going to be a tough game, you know, for them to win. And they won, you know, that game pretty handily. And then the Bills, I was like, yeah, I don't know. The Bills, you know, are pretty good. They have the Chiefs number, you know, they've beaten us in the regular season. This is not a good Chiefs team. We beat the Bills. And then the Ravens, you know, everyone was counting them out for that game too. And so it's just great to see.
I think we should just say, you know, I don't even know why the Chiefs are going to show up for Super Bowl 58. They're so outclassed, outmatched, outgunned. I mean, I don't even know why they'd show up for the game.
Yeah. You know, it will be a good game for sure. And and I do think that this 49ers team is better than the 49ers team that we beat 4 years ago, whenever that was. So it'll be a good game for sure.
Can I break it to the rest of the league that Patrick Mahomes is only 28 years old?
Yeah.
28, and most quarterbacks don't come into their own until they're like 29 to 33, somewhere in that age range. So he's still got a lot of room to grow. That does not mean that I want folks in Eastern Jackson County or Jackson County anywhere who listen to the podcast to vote for the stadium issue. We talked about that last time. Where we left it last time was Frank White had vetoed it being on the ballot, and now two legislators changed their minds. They went back the other way. And so bottom line is you're going to get to vote for the stadium tax on the April municipal ballot. It's the first Tuesday in April, and I encourage you to vote no. And I talked to somebody the other day about this, and they said, oh my God, if we vote no, the Chiefs and Royals will leave. No, they won't. What this will do if we vote no on this thing is it'll be a wake-up call. You know, it should be a wake-up call. Number one, it should again tell the folks in Kansas City down at the courthouse that we're done in Eastern Jackson County. We want out. Kick us out, for God's sake. Get rid of us. That's fine. We'll set up our own county. Just get rid of us. The other thing it'll do is it might call attention to the fact that Jackson County, Missouri, is carrying all the weight for the Chiefs and Royals.
Yeah.
That's not fair. Why not Clay County? Why not Johnson County? Why not Wyandotte County?
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe that'll be the discussion, that if you want these teams in Kansas City, maybe the entire metro should be supporting it.
Yeah.
So just vote no. That's what I'm going to suggest.
Yeah, and as far as the teams leaving, I mean, I agree. I think that's pretty far-fetched. And, you know, the Royals are not doing well, so they have maybe a better case to leave. But then they would just go and not sell tickets somewhere else.
So, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, what's the difference, you know?
Yeah, and they got a good team. They got a good team in Tampa Bay, and they can't draw flies.
Yeah, the Chiefs have fully ingrained themselves in Kansas City. You know, they're like the face of the city. Patrick Mahomes is basically might as well be the governor, you know, the mayor.
Well,
they're not going anywhere.
Again, I don't want the Chiefs to leave. I don't even want them to think about it. What we're trying to do here is very tactical, very surgical. We're sending a message to the courthouse that we are done. We're done with you. We want out, and we're inviting you to kick us out, and we'll set up our own county. We've already got our own courthouse. We got a county seat in Independence. We're ready to go. Mm-hmm. Truman County can happen. Let's just, you know, kick us out. That'd be great. Okay, speaking of kicking out, let's talk about Texas and the border and what's going on down there. Things are getting really, really dicey. Articles of impeachment have been introduced on the Homeland Security. He's Homeland Security, right?
Yeah.
Mayorkas. But here's my question about that. Isn't he just following orders from Joe?
Yeah, that would be my assumption, yeah.
He's not doing this on his own.
No.
I mean, it's not like, you know, Lloyd Austin, for instance, there's grumbling about maybe impeaching the defense secretary because he went in the hospital and basically didn't tell anybody. And, I mean, that's a big deal that we couldn't find our defense secretary. The president didn't know where he was. That's a big deal. And you might have an argument for impeaching him. But as far as the Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, I mean, he's just doing what the administration is telling him to do. Yeah. He's enforcing what they're telling him to do.
And even then, I mean, it's like, it's so murky, you know, the administration, like Joe Biden, the president is telling him what to do. No, he's not. Joe Biden's not telling anyone what to do. He's totally incompetent. He's not with it mentally. And I think this whole thing is like by design. It's like there's no, you can't point to one person and say, this is the person that is responsible for X or Y, because everything has been so become so murky with, you know, what people call the swamp, the deep state, all of these things. You can't point to, like, this is the person that's causing this, and if we get rid of them, if we remove them from their office, then it'll fix the problem. You can't say that anymore because it's all part of the same thing, and everybody is, you know, in cahoots, and you can't even tell like who's really making the decision. So who do you really punish?
Well, they're aiming it at Mayorkas, and we'll see where that goes. And the question that I would have, because now they're it's gotten so murky, so swampy. You know, Biden's like, well, you know, if I get money for Ukraine, I'll give you money for the border and all that. Okay. They at least acknowledge now that we have a problem, right?
Right.
And they're blaming the Republicans for it. Of course they are. So why didn't Biden fix this in the first 2 years? He had the House and the Senate. Why didn't he fix it? And the answer to that question is because it was by design. If you go back to the debates when Biden was running on the Democrat side, he said, come on in. We want you to come on in. And if you want to get even a little more conspiratorial than that, they'd love to turn red state Texas blue by just an invasion from the South. And that's exactly what's happening. And, you know, for him to say, well, you know, we could fix it, but I'm going to need money for this or that. Those first 2 years prove that if it were a priority at all, it would have been accomplished in the first 2 years. And now there's trouble brewing with a showdown between Texas and the federal government. I mean, I don't know where this thing is going to go. You've got 25 governors, former President Trump, and candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. siding with the state of Texas.
Yep. Yeah, they all signed a letter supporting Texas, and I'm not really sure what that means. I mean, it could be purely symbolic. They haven't really done anything to support them, although I think Florida is sending highway patrol or some state troopers or something like that. Maybe some other states are too. I'm not really sure.
Well, Trump said, Trump's encouraging other states to send their National Guard troops to Texas.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen down there. The federal government blinked. You know, the Supreme Court basically told them that they could go in there and take down the razor wire that's on the river that is doing an effective job in those areas, and the federal government's not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And this is the letter from Governor Abbott. Obviously, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he lays out the case. You know, he cites the Constitution. He cites the Federalist Papers and some other things and talks about why he needs to secure the border, because obviously the Biden administration is not doing it. So I recommend going to check that out. It's on his Twitter page. And as of today, it has 61 million views. So. Yeah.
So go check that out, and to be continued on this. But when the federal government is not going to do its job, you know, the governor of Texas has an obligation to the citizens of the state of Texas to protect them.
Yeah, 100%. And there's one other thing I wanted to mention, too, because these are some key numbers. You know, we talk about the border crisis a lot, but it helps to really put things into perspective of how bad it really is and how many people are actually coming over. So this is from homeland.house.gov. Some key facts for fiscal year 2023. Encounters at the southwest border in 2023 increased over 40% since 2021. Increased 4% compared to 2022 and more than 100% compared to 2019. Last month, U.S. Customs and Border Protection reported a 40% increase compared to September 21. Since Biden took office, there have been 7.5 million encounters nationwide and 6.2 million encounters at the southern border, in addition to 1.7 million known gotaways. So I guess gotaways is people who were never apprehended.
Is that an estimate? I don't know how you could count gotaways.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably way more than that.
It could be.
In 2023, 169 individuals whose names appear on the terrorist watch list were stopped trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border between ports of entry. 18 were apprehended in September alone. Border Patrol has arrested 35,433 aliens with criminal convictions or outstanding warrants nationwide, including gang members, MS-13, et cetera.
Yeah. So it's a problem, and we'll continue reporting on it. We'll continue telling you the truth about it, which I don't think you're getting from the administration. Hey, I want to pause here and thank Dr. Mark Terramina and the folks at Midwest GI Health and Wellness. Get that colonoscopy. And I've got another friend, and because of HIPAA, I'm not going to tell you who went to go see Dr. Mark Terramina and got that colonoscopy. You got to get that health screening. Starting at age 45 now, colon cancer is a killer. But if you catch it early, you can knock it out. And that's what they do at Midwest GI Health and Wellness. Everything you need in their location in Lee's Summit. They can do the upper GI at the exact same time. And the Google rating on them, 4.9 out of 5 stars, is the highest in Kansas City. So make sure you get that screening. It could save your life. And I don't know that we could overstate that or understate that. MidwestGIHealth.com in Lee's Summit, 816-836-2200. And when you set up that appointment with Dr. Mark Terramina, make sure you tell him you heard about it right here on Dale Carter's America, the podcast. And then after you've gone through prep and cleaned out all your innards and all that, and you get that clean bill of health, heck, just go down the road in Lee's Summit and grab a piping hot pizza filled with toppings at Fun House Pizza. They actually have two locations, 7 Highway in Blue Springs and 50 Highway in Lee's Summit. Jim Dingman and the crew there will take excellent care of you and your party. You know, you want to have your team party there, your banquet or whatever. Maybe it's a birthday party, an anniversary party, whatever the party is. You know, if you're getting married, maybe you're going to have your rehearsal dinner there. That'd be kind of cool, too. And they've got fun stuff for the kids to do as well. A fun atmosphere at Funhouse Pizza, 50 Highway in Lee's Summit and 7 Highway in Blue Springs. In the news today, we have three service members who were killed at a U.S. outpost in Jordan. That's reported by U.S. Central Command. 25 service members were injured. This from, I guess, attacks coming from, well, the Houthi rebels or Hamas. Who's attacking us right now?
Who fucking knows, man?
Exactly. And, you know, as we talk about the great divide in this country, when Joe Biden came in, remember he had that wonderful inaugural address where it's like, just give me a chance. Just give me a chance. I'm going to be the normal guy in here. And then he went down to the White House and he took out his pen and he reversed everything that Donald Trump put into place. Everything. I mean, you got... Any rational person would say, hey, some of the stuff they did during the Biden or the Trump administration might have been good, might have been working. He went in there like a third grader and reversed every stinking policy.
Or at least if you're going to do that, be honest about it, you know, because I mean, Trump is going to do that when he's reelected. He's going to go in and cancel everything that Biden did because it sucks. And Biden was a shitty president, is a shitty president.
Yeah.
But, you know, to come in there and say that you're, oh, I'm just going to be the normal one. I'm going to be perfectly down the middle. It's a lie. Just come in and say, no, I don't like Trump. I'm campaigning against him. I'm going to cancel everything he did, you know.
Well, it's the bait and switch. And we'll see in November if we fall for it twice. But my point in all of this was one of the deals that was out there was the Iran nuclear deal. And he went right back into the Iran nuclear deal. Not only that, they unfroze billions of dollars worth of assets. And, you know, they said, it's okay, because they're just going to use this money for humanitarian purposes. Right? Yeah, remember that
right.
bullshit?
Right.
Okay. So follow the money on all of this. You know, if you want to start at where we are today, the three dead U.S. service members and the 25 who have been injured. Okay. Where did they get the money? Where did the Houthi rebels and Hamas get the money? They got it from Iran. Where did Iran get it? They got it because we unfroze billions in assets. Remember when we had that clip from the Iranian leader when they asked him, you know, are you going to use this for humanitarian purposes? Remember what he said? He said, basically, it's none of your fucking business. We're going to do with it whatever we want to do with it.
Right.
And they are. And this goes back to Joe Biden. It all goes back to Joe Biden. If he had left things alone the way Trump had set it up, we wouldn't have this problem right now. And then you've got the UN over there. Have you heard about this? That the UN basically has folks in Gaza who were aiding and abetting the Hamas terrorists? UN workers, United Nations workers, aiding and abetting Hamas. That's where we are today. And that's why it's a problem. The great divide is, you know, on the other side, they don't see it that way. We are so split right down the middle. And I wanted to give them some airtime on the podcast so you can hear what the other side is saying. Okay? And I want to start with my good friend, Chris Matthews. I had Chris Matthews on my morning show at KFKF when he wrote his last book. Maybe it's not his last book. And I told him at that time, and I can't remember what the debt number was, but it was high. It was nowhere near where it is today at $34 trillion. But I asked Chris, I said, look, you know, I don't agree with you. You don't agree with me. Don't you think at some point we're going to have to reboot this whole thing and start over. And he goes, no, we don't need to do that. Just keep spending money. So Chris Matthews on Donald Trump. Do we have the clip about with Chris Matthews talking about how Trump basically lies every time he opens his mouth?
Yeah, I think this is the clip you're talking about. He's on Morning Schmo.
It's in that fetching Markle sweater Johnson. That Chris was wearing.
Yeah, it is very fetching. That's a good word for that. All right, let's check it out.
Well, you've got 200 people who have already pled guilty to felony charges for January 6th at the U.S. Capitol. That's real business. These people can face up to 18 to 20 years in prison. I think that the law is coming after Donald Trump, and it's going to get him. And I think the same system that's worked for those 700 people altogether for either felony or misdemeanor charges have pled guilty to because of January 6th. And the mastermind behind it all is the guy who lied about saying he won the election of 2020, Donald Trump. He lied after the election. He lied on the day of January 6th, all through it. And now today, he's lied about the E. Jean Carroll case. I know E. Jean Carroll. She used to be on my show all the time. I've got to say, I believe her completely, just like the jury did. And I think that they're going to give a lot of money to her, because maybe $10 million in addition to everything, because they really believe she's been hurt by this. I think Trump is just lying all the time. And the people that believe a liar all the time are crazy.
Can we pause that just for a second there? I want to mention the E. Jean Carroll thing. She got, what, $83 million?
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous verdict.
Yeah.
So if I understand this right, and maybe I don't have all the facts right, so she comes after him after years and years, right? Statute of limitations is long gone on this.
Yeah.
All right? And gets a jury award in a civil trial, not a criminal trial.
Correct.
And then Trump, of course, being Trump, he comes out and he says, I've never met the woman, right? He stands by that he's never met the woman, that he met her husband, but he's never met her. And so they come after him again, saying, well, you lied about that. And so now we're going to get you in another civil trial. And they're doing this in friendly blue jurisdictions. They're not doing this in red states. This is part of a coordinated plan. They're going after Trump in blue districts, trying to keep him off the campaign trail. So they go after him again. And, you know, because you lied about this and lied about that, which... How do you prove that he didn't know her? How do you prove he did know her? I don't know. So $83 million, are you crazy? It's of course, all going to be on appeal. The first trial is still on appeal, and then they got the second one with the $83 million verdict, and now that's going to be on appeal.
Yeah. I mean, isn't the burden of proof on the accuser to prove, you know, that you were sexually assaulted? I mean, this is the woman, we played the clip. She's been on TV and in the public many times, you know, saying very questionable things about sexual assault. Let's just put it that way. There's no evidence that this happened. Isn't the burden of proof on you to prove that it happened? I mean, isn't that how our justice system is supposed to work? Apparently not.
And is that how we're going to conduct our politics from now on? Are we going to go after, you know, Joe Biden in red districts and basically put him on the stand and tie him up and get all these verdicts going against him? It's ridiculous.
I'm starting to think, and this, it's very unfortunate to have these thoughts, but it's just being a realist. You know, I'm starting to think that this lawfare is going to have to be put back on them for any change to happen, you know. The parents of the kid, all the kids that Joe Biden has sniffed and touched inappropriately, start suing him. Take $83 million from Joe Biden, and then maybe they'll see, you know, that this is not the way to move forward. You need to punish people for this kind of stuff. Otherwise, it's just going to keep ramping up. It's not going
to
stop.
Do we have to watch the rest of the Chris Matthews clip? Has he said everything he's going to say?
No, I mean, he rambles on.
He just basically is talking about lie. And, you know,
and he doesn't give an example either. That's the other thing. Like, he says, oh, he lied about January 6th. He lied about E. Jean Carroll. He lied about the election. How? Give us an example.
Well, and he's on the network now that won't even carry the leading Republican candidate live because they don't want to expose you to any more of his lies. You would think they'd want to carry everything and then come in and excoriate him.
Right?
That's what Fox does.
Yeah.
All right. So Rachel Maddow, she says that we like Trump because we want a dictator.
Here's her.
I think that there's a very simple reason that Trump is making that the closing argument in what may be the last contested primary. And it's because that's really what he's offering. I mean, this is the special sauce Donald Trump is not leading the Republican Party and leading the Republican field of candidates because of his youthful vigor or because of his policy preferences or because of his eloquence, right? There's none of that is going on. What he's offering is what he both sort of inherently offers and now more and more explicitly offers, which is, if you pick me, that'll be the end of politics. And you won't have to deal with politics anymore. You won't have to deal with contested elections. You won't have to deal with contests or divisions when it comes to power. You'll have a strongman leader and I'll just do what I want. And won't that be a lot simpler? That's what he's offering. That strongman model is what the Republican base is enthused about. And that is something that sets him apart from every other Republican candidate. And I think that we're naive to think that he's tricking people into picking him and then surprised he's going to act like a dictator. What he's offering is strongman leadership, the end of politics, the end of elections, the end Psaki. or the sidelining or domesticating, as Ruth Ben-Ghiat says, of the judiciary and the Congress. Mm-hmm. He'll be a man in charge and he'll get it done. And that's what he's selling. And that's what they are very eager to buy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's
women in politics.
Man. Yeah. Here's what I would ask your friends on the other side. Okay. And ask them, you know, point blank, are you freer today than you were under Donald Trump? Are you freer? And you'll have examples because we've given you examples. I will tell you that under Democrats, what they'd like you to be freer to do is, you know, kill children all the way up until birth.
Yeah.
They'd love that.
Chop your dick off.
And they would love to have, you know, some folks come across that southern border to turn Texas from a red state to a blue state. You'd be really free to do that. So he's all about freedom for illegals, and he's all about freedom for killing babies. Now, we could have the whole discussion about abortion and what the reasonable answer is there, but Democrats would tell you on-demand abortion anytime up until birth.
Yeah.
That's what they would, that's where you'd be free. Are you free to, and I got into it with my buddy in Indiana who I went to grade school with, who's a Democrat, and he commented on the clip that you put out on Facebook about me saying, you know, are you free to drive what you want, heat your water how you want, heat your house, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, well, I'd want to drive a Sherman tank, but there's got to be limits to these things. And I'm like, he's such an idiot. You know, I've known him since we were in Little League together, but that's not what we're talking about here.
Bullshit.
Yeah, we're talking about the ability, you know, to drive a gas-powered car, which is where the market is today, and not, you know, this, the sky is falling. If you don't drive an electric car, you're killing the planet. And, you know, I talked to him about coal because in Indiana, they do a lot of mining of coal. He says, well, I don't think they're going after coal. Yes, they are. They just put the kibosh on exporting liquid natural gas. You saw that, right? LNG. Mm. No more exporting that. So the world market is going to be at the mercy of Russia over liquid natural gas. Natural gas heats my home, probably heats your home as well. Thank God we have it. I mean, we didn't see the sun for like 2 weeks until yesterday. So where was the solar, right? And the wind, you know, wind kind of goes as it goes. The things that we know work are gasoline and coal and natural gas, you know, hydrogen. Are we talking about that? What about water? You know, they shut down a water plant, you know, a water-powered plant. Mm-hmm. It's just ridiculous what they are doing, but Donald Trump is the dictator here and not Joe Biden.
And it's also we've made this point many times before, but to get back to the Rachel Maddow clip, it's astounding the lack of self-awareness that these people have and the lack, they think that we're stupid. They think that we can't see what's going on. They're saying that Trump wants to be a dictator and end elections as we know it. But they're the ones trying to put him in prison. They're the ones trying to put their political opposition in prison and basically eliminate them from the election. You know, they're
take
the ones changing
all
the rules. I mean, it's like, do you not see what's happening here? It's amazing to me.
Okay, then there's Dean Phillips, who is a congressman from Minnesota, who has the temerity to go up against Joe Biden. In fact, you know, he did that in New Hampshire, and he, right out of the blocks, got 20% of the Democrat vote. 20% of the Democrat vote. Now, we're not going to agree with Dean Phillips on policy, but he went on CNN, and I thought his discussion there had a lot of candor to it.
We have a crisis of participation. And I got to tell you guys, I went to
a Donald Trump rally a couple nights ago. Never been to one. I had an event across the street. I saw the line of people waiting in the cold for hours. And I thought, what the heck? You know, I'm going to be a leader who actually invites people, doesn't condemn them. Met probably 50 Trump people waiting in line. Every single one of them, thoughtful, hospitable, friendly, all of them so frustrated that they feel nobody's listening to them but Donald Trump. A diverse crowd, people who had never been to a Trump event before. My party is completely delusional right now. We have a crisis of participation. Yeah. And I got to tell
you. So he's saying that out loud, right? And he may or may not be able to bump the old man out of the way. I don't think he's going to. I think Joe Biden is going to be the nominee at this point. And I think Donald Trump's going to be the nominee of the Republicans. And we'll see which way that we go. But that's what the other side is saying. Okay.
Can I add one thing there?
Sure.
Too? It's interesting, that clip, because you can tell that he doesn't really know Trump supporters. You know what I'm saying? Like he went to a rally and he was like surprised that people were nice. You know, it's like it's a weird thing. People have this total boogeyman image in their mind of the opposition of specifically of like conservatives and Trump supporters. All they see is like the Jordan Klepper Daily Show late night skits where they're like they're going to Trump rallies and they're making fun of them and picking out, you know, selective clips, making them look like backwards, you know, hillbilly idiots. And they don't know these people at all. They couldn't tell them from Adam. And it's like, yeah, you went to them and they're actually nice. They actually care about America. They're patriots. You know, like, what did you expect?
Well, MSNBC, where they get all of their news, has portrayed Trump supporters as, you know, Nazis at a Adolf Hitler Nazi rally. And that is not what's going on at all.
Right.
So we'll see where it goes from here. This is going to happen as we get closer and closer to Election Day. Certainly, if it looks like Donald Trump is going to be the next president again, celebrities will start saying, well, if he's president, I'm leaving the country. You know, they've said it before. You know they're going to say it again, right?
Yeah, this is a highlight of some from, I think, 2016 and 2020. But Snoop Dogg, Miley Cyrus, Lena Dunham, whoever, nobody cares about her. Amy Schumer, not funny. Cher, washed up, old. Samuel Jackson, I mean, it's cool, I guess.
By the way, Saturday Night Live, I don't know if you've heard about this or not, they made fun of Donald Trump, said he made up a word, debanking, when he was talking about the economy, debanking. And it turns out it is a term, it is true, and, you know, now they got to walk that back.
You want me to play the clip?
Oh, sure, why not?
Look at how fast I found
hasn't
that.
Hasn't lost a step. Trump did have a slight stumble this week while talking about banks, and he introduced an interesting new term called debank.
We're also going to place strong protections to stop banks and regulators from trying to debank you.
They want to debank you, and we're going to debank.
I don't know what the hell debank means, but he might have to take deambulance to see the doctor.
Funny.
Debank means when you are removed from your bank for having a political opinion that you voice online, or for having unapproved opinions that people like you don't like. You would not understand that because you are protected by Hollywood. And you are protected by every single institution in America, and you would never understand that. You would not recognize it if it bit you in the face. Shut the hell up.
Yeah. So,
God.
How do you really feel? Yeah. So, obviously, what they're trying to do is bring Trump down to the level of Joe Biden. And we've got another section coming up called Fun with Joey B, where we'll make that point a little clearer. But for you celebrities, and I doubt any of you are watching or listening to our podcast, but maybe you know a celebrity and you want to help them. So we did this after Donald Trump became president the first time, because I'm not leaving my country based on who's in the White House. I don't think Kurt is going to leave his country based on who's in the White House. But some of you who threaten it, we'd like to help you. So if you are leaving from Kansas City, Missouri, which is where the podcast is emanating from, you would essentially go up I-29 as far north as you can. And at some point, you'll cross over to something else. Maybe it's 35. I'm not even quite sure. But just keep driving north until you get to the Canadian border. That's basically the quickest, easiest way I can tell you to get out of the country.
And then keep driving past there through Canada, and then keep driving until you get to the North Pole, and then you can live there and not bother anybody.
Wow. just make sure that we get our Christmas presents on time, okay? Don't bother Santa Claus. Santa Claus has a lot of work to do here in the off season.
We kid.
Yes. Clay Como shooters, not messing around there. Second Amendment, you know, with all that's coming in here and fentanyl just pouring across our border and the heartbreak that's coming there, you want to be able to defend yourself and defend your family. And Clay Como Shooters is there to help you get that done. You can shop for firearms. They've got a range. They've got memberships there. They'll train you, which is perhaps the most important part of this. Once you've exercised your Second Amendment rights, you find out what kind of firearm fits you so that you can take care of your family and protect yourself. Then you got to get trained. And they work with law enforcement every day, so they can get you trained the right way. They're at 69 Highway in Clay Como, 816-452-4866. They're on the web at claycomoshooters.com. Herb and the guys there do a fantastic job making sure that folks get trained and know what they're doing. Because exercising your Second Amendment, that is your right, but you ought to know what you're doing. And you got to be safe with it, too. And you got to take responsibility for those firearms. We had a situation where some kids in the Raytown School District brought guns to school. Didn't shoot anybody, thank God. But how are they getting these guns? Why are they taking them to school? You're the parent here. Take responsibility for your firearms and make sure they don't end up in the wrong hands. Royal Roofing and Solar has been with us for a while as well. And boy, this spring, I think a lot of folks are going to need a new roof after everything that we've been through this winter. Royal Roofing and Solar will get out there. They'll inspect your roof. If you've got an insurance claim, they'll work with the insurance agencies to make sure that they get all the information that they need. And who knows, if this is your forever home, and you're tired of paying those exorbitant electric bills and gas bills that are going up and up and up, and then, you know, with whatever Biden's going to end up doing, maybe we'll have brownouts and blackouts. Turn your home into its own energy-producing unit. You can do that with Royal Roofing and Solar. They'll take you through it, show you all the tax credits, all the ways that you can make this affordable at solarbyroyal.com. Solarbyroyal.com. And everything else at Royal is under royalcontractingkc.com. All filters down to one phone number, 816-540-7057. And tell the folks at Royal that we said hi here at Dale Carter's America. All right, fun with Joey B. First of all, the left wants you to think that this is going to be a battle between two old geezers who basically are at the same level. Do you get that feeling?
Yeah, they're starting to, we're going to get into this, but they're starting to try and bring Trump down by, like, insulting his intelligence and stuff like that, which is laughable.
And, you know, he's going to make mistakes. He's in front of a microphone a lot. I make mistakes on the morning show. Okay, so he had a brain fart, and he was talking about Nikki Haley and January 6th instead of Nancy Pelosi. So they've made that into a clip that's gone viral, and that's all they want to talk about. Never mind that applesauce and chocolate chip ice cream at the White House, there's a gaffe a day, maybe a gaffe an hour.
Do you want to skip to the Nikki clip now, or do you want to do the Biden clips first?
Well, let's see. Okay, well, let's talk first about Biden. Mm-hmm. All right. A reminder about New Hampshire. You know, we had Dean Phillips on. Dean Phillips was on the ballot. Marianne Williamson, is that Williamson?
Yeah.
She was on the ballot too, the author. Joe Biden was not. They ran a write-in campaign because they had an oh shit moment. It's like, wait a minute, New Hampshire's not playing ball with the Democrats. They still want to be first in the nation. And so they did, and Joe had to go in there with a write-in campaign. Now, why is Joe waiting until South Carolina to be on a ballot? It goes back to the grand bargain that he struck with Congressman James Clyburn to make him president. Clyburn, very powerful in South Carolina, and there was a logjam of Democrats, you may recall, in 2020 leading up to the nomination. And Clyburn basically pulled Joey aside and said, look, here's what I'm going to do for you. We're going to make you president. Go to the basement. Don't say anything to anybody anymore, okay? And by the way, I expect you to appoint a black female as vice president, and the first Supreme Court nod you get needs to be a black female as well. You remember all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why he stayed out of New Hampshire and why South Carolina is the first time that you're going to see him on the stump. Meanwhile, on the stump, out on the campaign trail, You cannot swing a dead cat without getting a Joe Biden gaffe or something else. I mean, he was in Virginia. Let's go to Virginia first, where he joined the ranks of election deniers. Remember all the election deniers? It's not just Trump. They want you to think that Trump is the only person who ever said I won when I lost. I mean, you know, that's the nature of competitive politics. Stacey Abrams still thinks she's the governor of Georgia. Al Gore still thinks he beat George W. Bush. Hillary Clinton still thinks she beat Donald Trump. And then you've got Terry McAuliffe in Virginia. And apparently, according to Joe, he's the real governor.
Hello, Virginia. And the real governor, Terry McAuliffe.
Yeah.
Can't even say his name right.
But exactly. And of course, they're going to say, oh, he's just kidding. He's kidding. Trump over there is serious, though. And if he gets elected, that's the end of elections and democracy as you know it, because he'll become a dictator for life. I don't know where the hell they come up with that. Do you think, let's play that out for a second. Let's say that Trump wins and he goes out into the Rose Garden and he says, I've eliminated elections forever. I'm going to be a dictator for life. Do you think Republicans would stand for that?
Let's go. No, I'm just kidding.
I kid. Of course, they'll take that clip from Kurt and say, see, Kurt's right there with
him. You can clip it all you want. Bring it on.
Okay. So we've got that. There's the clip that you put up on Facebook. Do you want to go there first or you want to go to Wisconsin?
Yeah, no, there's a whole bunch of clips. So we're just going to power through.
We're going to play What the Hell is Joey Saying?
We'll teach Donald Trump a valuable lesson. Don't mess with the women in America unless you want to get the benefit.
Can we watch that again?
Oh, absolutely.
We'll teach Donald Trump a valuable lesson. Don't mess with the women in America unless you want to get the benefit.
I mean, the cheering, too. It's like these people are just clapping seals, you know? Like, are these women paid to just, like, stand back there and clap?
Yeah. The Wisconsin one was really funny.
Yeah, so let's go to that next. So there's actually, I got two clips from Wisconsin. There's one, this is not the one that you're probably thinking of, but this is pretty funny, too. It's from the same speech.
Okay.
14 million new jobs since I became president. 169 new jobs in Wisconsin.
How many?
169.
Boy, that's something to cheer about.
Yeah. And then, but this is the one that was going around about beer or something about beer. Well, let's pull that up. And here we go.
The beer brewed here, it is used to make the brew beer in this refinery. Oh, Earth Rider, thanks for the Great Lakes. I wonder why.
I think he's been into the beer. Play that again.
Yeah. I might have to add these to the soundboard. You know, I've got some good ones here.
All men and women created by go, you know the thing.
So yeah. I might have to add this one.
Yeah. Beer brewed here. It is used to make the brew beer in this refinery. Oh, Earth Rider, thanks for the Great Lakes. I wonder why it's
called. Oh, my God, Joey. Oh, my God.
Everyone's
go back to the basement.
Yay!
Democrats everywhere are going, Joe, go back to the basement. And when I was researching this for the podcast, I found an article, I think it was an MSNBC article, that basically excoriated Fox for digging up little snippets within speeches just to make fun of him.
Yeah, that's what they always do. It's never the thing. It's Republicans react. They pounce.
Yeah.
But check this. Have you seen this one?
I have.
This is pretty funny. I got to see if I can make it bigger. But this was Biden, I think in Wisconsin as well. It's just the average Joe, man. Just a regular guy, man.
Lunch bucket Joe.
Come on, lunch bucket Joe, man. I'm on a job site. You know, come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got
what do you notice about the picture?
it's backwards. You know, I heard though that's like what the hip young kids do, you know? They put the hard hat on backwards, man.
Well, you know, Snopes had to back off because they said that basically it wasn't on backwards. And then they had to retract that, you know, because they're out there trying to help Joey to win the thing.
That's so dumb.
Okay, so in the state of New Hampshire, this is where AI is going, okay? There was a robocall. You know what a robocall is? It's when a politician records a script. I've done them before. And they get played to registered voters who will answer the phone. This is the, do you have the robocall?
Yeah.
Listen to this and see what you think.
It's a malarkey. We know the value of voting Democratic when our votes count. It's important that you save your vote for the November election. We'll need your help in electing Democrats up and down the ticket. Voting this Tuesday only enables the Republicans in their quest to elect Donald Trump again. Your vote makes a difference in November, not this Tuesday. If you would like to be removed from future calls, please press 2 now.
Yeah. So the White House, and I believe the White House on this because of where AI is these days, they say that was not the president telling you not to vote in New Hampshire. You buy that?
Yeah, I don't think it was actually him.
It was too coherent.
Yeah.
So, and then you've got, and I put these up on the Facebook page.
Is this the one that you were talking about?
Yeah.
Because I found this.
Yeah. This is pictures of Trump and Biden that are AI generated. Don't they make a cute couple? It almost feels
just
like
bros hanging out, man.
This could be Brokeback Mountain 2.
I mean, look at the sweaters. You know, they're making pies. It just looks lovely.
It's like a Martha Stewart moment with just a couple of pals here. Don and Joey hanging out.
The AI stuff is kind of scary, but it's also pretty funny. And I put this in the notes too because I didn't know if you had seen this before. But one of my favorite Twitter accounts is called Trump History, and it's all like AI Trump stuff. And so here's Trump as a samurai. And then it says, there's the media often fails to mention the time Donald Trump set the baseball home run record in 1920 with a total of 1,776 home runs. Donald Trump is regarded as the greatest baseball player in history.
Yeah.
And then you go down, I mean, here's Trump and MLK, let's find a good one here.
In a kilt?
Yeah. Hold on. Donald Trump works as a miner during the copper mining boom in Butte, Montana.
He's got the hat on, right?
Yeah, right.
What's the beard?
No, there's like, here's, have you had the chance to see Leonardo da Vinci's portrait of Donald Trump at the Louvre in Paris?
This is why you need to be watching the video on stuff. Was that Trump as Santa Claus?
Yeah. This is, the media often fails to mention that Donald Trump was in fact the fourth wise man who brought Jesus gifts after he was born.
My gosh. Well, you know, this is where you need to have a bullshit detector, right? The whole AI thing, if it doesn't sound right, it's probably not right.
Donald Trump hands out Christmas presents to children during the Great Depression. I mean, these are just great. I follow this Twitter account. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, Democrats are firing back. They're saying that basically, you know, you think our guy is old and incoherent. Well, your guy is old and incoherent too, and he makes mistakes, and they're going to point those out. And we have some clips here.
Yeah. So this is an interesting thing because it's Biden and Nikki Haley are like forming an alliance over this one thing. So this is actually posted to Joe Biden's Twitter account, but it's of Nikki Haley talking about a Trump gaffe. So
last night, Trump is at a rally.
You know, Nikki Haley.
And he's going on and on mentioning me multiple times as to why I didn't handle January 6th better.
Nikki Haley is in charge of security. We offered her 10,000 people. They don't want to talk about that.
I wasn't in office then. They're saying he got confused.
You have voter ID to buy a loaf of bread. You have ID to buy a loaf of bread.
What? What is? I'm driving over a road where it's almost all paper. And you know, you can see paper. I know paper.
I know paper.
Cans.
But all the cans. Time now we paper. See whales washing up on shore. Because of the wind.
Our veterans don't have cell phones, do they?
He got confused. He got confused and said he was running against Obama. He never ran against Obama.
And we did with Obama. We won an election that everyone said couldn't be won.
Obama wants to, he doesn't want to talk about it.
Well, you mean President Biden. So,
don't put our country at risk like this.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Oh, boy.
So, if there's any more reason that you need to not approve of Nikki Haley, that's it.
Well, you're starting to see that, and the whole Mitt Romney thing that came out last week too. It's like, and I voted for that guy.
And now Nikki Haley's going on CBS and, you know, trying to say that Trump is, you know, mentally unfit, that he's having mental problems. She's not saying that about Biden. She's saying it about Trump.
You said yesterday hearing this made you question Donald Trump's mental fitness. Is that the first time you questioned his mental fitness?
If you look recently, there have been multiple things. I mean, he claimed that Joe Biden was going to get us into World War II. I'm assuming he meant World War III. He said that he ran against President Obama. He never ran against President Obama. He says that I'm the one.
So there you go. I mean, we don't have to watch the whole thing, but Trump misspeaks, you know, has a gaffe, which everyone does, like you said. And Nikki Haley goes on CBS to talk about it. But Biden, you know, can't complete a sentence. And then he had a response, too. Of course, he's reading off of a teleprompter. We don't have to watch the whole thing, but it's a quick little clip here.
There are only two presidents in American history who left office with fewer jobs than they took office. Herbert Hoover and, yes, Donald Herbert Hoover Trump. And by the way, have you noticed he's a little confused these days? He apparently can't tell the difference between Nikki Haley and Nancy Pelosi. Well, folks.
I mean, never mind the fact that, you know, when Trump left office, we were still in the throes of a pandemic, and those 14 million jobs that he counts were people coming back to work out of a pandemic. Can November get here soon enough? And no matter which one of them wins, we're going to have a lame duck president on day one, because regardless of what MSNBC tells you, January 20th, 4 years from then, Donald Trump will leave office and hopefully leave it to a younger Republican who will take it from there. And if Joe Biden wins, you're voting for Kamala Harris. And that show has looked so bad as vice president. Can you imagine it for a second as president of the United States? I just shudder to think.
Yeah.
All right, moving forward here. Thanks to Kirk Doris and Lori Hocker there at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. They are with us, of course, on the podcast here. If you are 65 or approaching 65, there are things that you need to know about Medicare. Medicare is a maze. It's from the federal government. What more can I tell you about that? 3600 South Nolan Road, Suite F in Independence. These are folks who will guide you through the Medicare maze. And if you can't go to them for whatever reason, they'll come to you, make an appointment in your home, and tell you about all the options that are out there, how folks in the most cost-effective way are filling the holes that Medicare leaves. Read all about this now on the web at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. You can call Kirk and Lori and set up that appointment at 816-701-6661. But again, the fastest way to see everything you need to know, and if you're approaching 65, your world is about to change. It'll get better in a lot of ways because, you know, Medicare is pretty good for seniors. But they'll tell you where the holes are, which plan, which part. It's different for just about everybody. MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. Hey, before we leave you, some this and that. I sometimes, you know, we have things that we put into categories, and then there are some other things that I want to mention that kind of fall into like a this and that category. We start in Southern York County School District in Pennsylvania, where the school board there said, you know what? We're done with all this woke crap, right? They voted 7-2 to bring back the warrior head logo for Susquehannock High School. It had been replaced with a W with an upward inclined arrow, which was supposed to say, you know, that this is where education is going in our district, in an upward arrow, right?
Yeah, I think they put the other logos on this.
Well, you know.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Not very convincing. I mean, that's pretty boring.
It is.
That compared to that, I mean.
So, congratulations to the Southern York County School District for having the sack to do something that you ought to do, which, you know, you're honoring Native Americans. It's what we do with the chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Right? I can't believe I live in a country where the Washington Redskins logo was erased. And for years, they went with the Washington football team. And now they're the Commanders.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't offend anybody. I don't know. Who are they commanding?
I think people are literally making that case.
Who's being subservient to the Commanders?
Yeah, the Commanders is like a, you know, commanding like a slave ship coming over from Africa or something. I don't know.
And then, you know, they got rid of the Indians in Cleveland, and now they're the Guardians. Well, Guardians means they're guarding someone. Yeah.
They're guarding America's white supremacist history.
Who are they guarding? I just can't believe they would do that. It's so racist. Okay, Democrat attorneys general going after Lake City Ammunition Plant in Independence. By the way, have you ever taken the tour of that place?
No, I've been to the range. There's a public range right across the street. I've never been to the plant,
you
though.
Would love it.
I would.
I've got a guy on the inside there. At some point, maybe I can get you a tour.
Yeah.
Because you could, they've got a testing area inside the plant where you can pull the trigger on a full clip of 50 cal.
Nice.
I mean, it makes you feel very powerful there. It's like, boom, 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 boom. It's all safe, all conditioned. And they make ammunition for the military.
Right.
But they also sell some in the general, you know, marketplace to places like Clay Como Shooters and all that. Democrat attorneys general going after Lake City Ammo Plant in Independence to halt commercial sales. Republican attorneys general, led by Missouri's own Andrew Bailey, are fighting back. They're basically saying, you Democrat AGs with your blue cities and your problems of people killing each other on a daily basis, which we're very aware of in Kansas City, you've got your own problems, all right? Don't come after legitimate people who are observing the Second Amendment. They've got firearms in their homes to protect themselves, and that's just another end around that Democrats want to take. Okay, you can have your firearm, you just can't have any bullets.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, is there really a difference between the Lake City ammo and other ammo that you can get? I don't really understand the distinction there, but this is the letter from the state AGs. I'll just read the first paragraph here. We write on behalf of the states, blah, 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 a bunch of states, to express concern about recent reports that billions of rounds of military-grade ammunition manufactured at the Lake City Army Ammunition Plant have been sold on the commercial market, leading to their use in many of the most tragic mass shootings in recent history. We ask your office to conduct an investigation into the contracting process that led to this situation and take action to ensure that military-grade and military-subsidized ammunition stays out of civilian hands. What is military-grade ammunition? That's what I want to know.
Well, it's classified, and it's very separate. And if you ever take the tour, you'll see that there are areas you can't go because that's where they do the military-grade ammunition. And so the fact that they're trying to blur the line here and say that somehow Lake City is getting military-grade ammo out into the general public.
Right, but like military-grade means something very specific. Like, for example, the military uses tracer rounds. I think it's every fourth or fifth round is a tracer round, and it's the one that like lights up so that you can see where your bullets are going.
Right.
That's illegal for civilian use. Civilians are not allowed to use tracer rounds. At least I think so. That's my understanding. So are they selling tracer rounds? Like, what is military-grade ammunition? Is it the load, the amount of powder that they're putting in the bullets? Because you can buy, like, you know, a box of, like, 1,000 rounds of .223 ammo, and it's pretty much the same thing as what the military uses. I mean, it's a bullet. You know, a bullet is a bullet. It's like saying that you're using military-grade pencils or something like that. I mean, what does that even mean?
Well, we had Herb on. We were talking about the assault rifles and all that, and I asked him the question just as a novice, right? Does the gun, depending on which one you'd use, does it make the bullet go faster? Does it kill somebody more or less?
No.
And he's like, no, of course not. It's all ridiculous. And if they would just take care of those blue cities and put bad people in jail, prosecute, you know, harsh criminal or harsh penalties in place for people who misuse guns, they don't want to do that. They don't. And black-on-black crime does not fit their narrative. I've said that till I'm blue in the face. We had another one, you know, over the weekend here in Kansas City, and you don't hear Quentin Lucas talking about that. Because it does not fit the narrative. They wait and they wait and they wait and they hope that some old white guy is going to kill a black kid. And then they'll run to town with that.
Right.
That is the narrative. But that's not the problem. The problem is black on black crime in a lot of these places, and they don't even want to talk about that. Got to put bad people in jail. Bad people deserve to be in jail. And they're, you know, there's bad white people, there's bad black people, there's bad Catholics, there's bad... what's the other word? I'm on a rant here.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, it's.
But I was just going
to
say, you know,
there's good and bad people is what I'm trying to say here.
Of course.
And you know
what?
You could put that into a clip, and you could say, "Hey, Dale doesn't know what the hell he's talking about."
I'll send it to MSNBC.
He's pulling a Joe Biden over here.
I'll send it to Nikki Haley, to the Nikki Haley campaign.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, it's so true that they're avoiding the problem, and you know, it's a cliche, but it's so true. That the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. There are no exceptions to that. I challenge anyone to you know, debate me on that, because you're just wrong. I mean, you have to stop somebody with force, whether it's you with a concealed carry permit or the police or the military or whatever. But, you know, instead of going after the core problem, like you said, putting people in jail, they're trying to go after ammunition. I mean, the big push, too, is to go after the gun manufacturers. If there's a particular manufactured gun that is used in a mass shooting, they're going after, you know, Colt or whatever, Palmetto State, whoever made the firearm that is used in the shooting, which is ridiculous. I mean, it's like suing a car manufacturer when somebody runs somebody over. They're going after the NRA and all that stuff, the stuff that has nothing to do with the problem.
Well, when your electric car causes a toxic spill, I'm going to sue the automaker, just so you know.
There you go.
All right, a sign of our times. And I've been in the broadcast industry for 45 years now, and I've worked for lots of companies. I've never worked for this one, Odyssey, which started as Entercom, second largest owner of radio stations in America. They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. We knew that was coming from the day they bought what was left of CBS Radio. It was like a $2 billion expense that they went after CBS with, right? So they knew they were going to have to file bankruptcy. They say that the pandemic and the soft advertising market all contributed to that. So they filed bankruptcy, okay? You would think at that point that David Field and the rest of the clowns that were in charge would all be fired, right? Deutsche Bank owns the biggest piece of paper on Odyssey, and they're going to come in, and you know, it's going to be bad for a while. So what happened to the board and David Field? Well, first thing they did was, because they didn't want to risk a brain drain. That's what Inside Radio says. One of the risks during a bankruptcy is a brain drain scenario, with senior management leaving a company during a reorganization. So they voted themselves $1.35 million bonuses. Now, I know a lot of people who work at Odyssey down in the trenches, and they're being told to suck it up, we're going to get through this, blah, blah, blah. So the architects of this huge failure at Odyssey vote themselves $1.35 million bonuses. And the architect, he gets to stay on the board in a non-chairman role.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Audacious. I mean, it fits, because their company is called Odyssey.
Filings show the bonuses total $1.35 million, and each was unanimously approved by the board's compensation committee. You don't say.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're burning the furniture. They're selling buildings and property, anything that they've got.
Yeah.
And they already run a lot of their stations on skeleton crews. I don't see them hiring a whole bunch of people.
I think it was Phoenix or something. One of the articles I was reading about this last night when I was putting the notes together. I think it was Phoenix. They sold like the entire property. I mean, the all the stations, the land, the buildings that they were leasing. It's just, they just sold it all off. And I'm sure they're doing that in other markets as well.
One of those things that almost makes you want to be a Democrat. Almost. Right? Because somebody's got something you don't have, and that's not fair. I just think it's ridiculous. And, you know, if they're going to run this company into the ground, it's eventually going to have to be sold for parts, probably. And maybe that's a good thing for the radio industry in general, that maybe you shouldn't have these companies that have thousands of radio stations. Radio began as something in the community on a small level,
right,
to be one-on-one with the people in your community. It's gotten so bad. What was the big hurricane that went through like Fort Myers and Sanibel Island and Captiva? It happened right after I went on vacation there. I can't remember which hurricane it was. But a friend of mine lives in Fort Myers. And during this time of a hurricane, they were getting their weather forecasts out of Tampa for the Fort Myers area. And there was no danger in Tampa. So they were basically telling people in the Fort Myers area there was no problem.
Mm.
When there was a, you know, a life-threatening storm that was going through. You know, we at KFKF, we take that responsibility very seriously. We've got a meteorologist on staff, and when the weather turns bad, as it does in Tornado Alley, we basically open the mic and let him take over. I mean, that's what radio is supposed to be about. It's not about trying to assemble as many stations as you can and then, you know, cut them down to the quick and do what with them?
Yeah.
They're obviously choking on a huge debt, and now they're in bankruptcy, but that's okay because the people at the top who basically steered the Titanic into the iceberg, they're fine. They've got their $1.35 million bonuses, and David Field gets to stay on the board.
And you mentioned, you know, almost wanting you to become a Democrat, and I know that's tongue-in-cheek, it's a joke, but it is true. I think that there are still some issues that we can agree on, you know, and we can kind of build a coalition across the party divide, and certainly, like, corporate corruption is one of them. I don't think true conservatives are okay with, you know, just these massive multinational companies taking over everything. We're selling off all of our farmland to China. That's something that actually you see Fetterman now, post-stroke, you know, he's been coming out pretty strongly on a lot of these things, and he's saying, you know, we shouldn't be selling off any of this farmland to China. It should be owned by American companies. So, like, there's a lot of crossover there, I think, and people in general, like, don't want to see this. They don't want to see people get fired for mistakes that executives and CEOs and boards make.
Or those executives getting rewarded for making those mistakes.
Yeah, and a lot of it, too, is not just corruption in the companies themselves, but it's, in a lot of cases, it is partnership with government agencies, or at the very least, it's taking advantage of the tax codes and the bankruptcy laws and everything that have been written, where these larger companies can afford to hire the lawyers necessary to navigate it properly for themselves, whereas smaller businesses can't do that. And that's not fair to anyone. And I think people can agree on that. And it's certainly something that's been interesting to me to see the shift on the left and on the right when it comes to the pharmaceutical industries, because that's huge. I mean, the partnership that has been built with Big Pharma, which used to be like a left-wing thing to talk about Big Pharma and, you know, the corruption and capitalism and all this stuff. But now it's the mainstream liberals that are defending Big Pharma because of the vaccine, and it's the right-wingers who are now speaking out against it. I just think it's really interesting kind of how that shifted. But we should be able to have a coalition there and have an agreement, you know, to try and stop this.
Well, I've got a lot of friends who work for Odyssey in Kansas City and around the country, and just know that I'm praying for you guys, and I hope that everything is going to be okay in your careers, despite what the upper management has done to you here. Thank Bob Watson again, State Farm agent in Blue Springs for 5 decades, for sponsoring our podcast. Get a rate to comparison. It's a great time to do that. Anytime is a great time to do that. When you see the statement from your insurance company, let Bob Watson have a crack at it and see if they can't do better at State Farm. Surprisingly great rates and the service extraordinary. 816-229-7878. 816-229-7878. He's at 7th and Main in Blue Springs, but he's licensed in both Missouri and Kansas, and he and his team are ready to take care of you. Now, I didn't say anything about this until I saw it twice. My cousin, you know, I've got cousins in Indiana that are very liberal. Just because you're in the same family doesn't mean you share the same politics. Go to anybody's Thanksgiving and you can see that civil wars can break out. So I've got some cousins who are very, very liberal, and I saw it on one of my cousins' Facebook pages, and then I saw it somewhere else. So Rush Limbaugh, you know, who passed away a couple of years ago, is still on the minds of liberals. I'm going to read this verbatim. This is what they are passing around at liberal Facebook pages and other places where they exchange information. Thinking about Rush Limbaugh and how, now that he's dead, you never ever hear about him. No one mentions anything he did, because what he did had no value. It contributed nothing worthwhile to the culture, nothing of lasting value. He just made anger every day, rising, blooming, and fading like a fart. Then he died and was instantly replaced by a fleet of little replicas, farting fake fury 5 days a week, creating nothing of interest or artistic value to anyone. Seriously, what an awful way to make a living. Yeah. he's still on their minds, right?
It's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, the Hollywood acting community, you say we've only got 10.
It's like, yeah, nobody's talking about him. Nobody cares about him. Well, you're talking about him right now. So obviously you care about
him. And he was right a lot more than he was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've got a clip that proves that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to watch this whole thing or not, but it was kind of interesting. You know, we talk a lot about climate change and all that with the electric vehicles and everything. There was a really good exchange. This is from like 1991, long time ago. And this is Al Gore saying, you know, the world's going to end and everything like that.
That was over 30 years ago, by the way, in case you're doing math.
It's just under 2 minutes long. I think it might be worth watching.
All right, go.
You've got local environmental problems, regional problems like acid rain. Now we've got a whole new category of global or strategic problems, which include the hole in the ozone layer, which now could appear above the United States, global climate change, the destruction of the rainforest at a rate that means they'll be totally gone in another few decades unless we stop, the pollution of the oceans and the atmosphere.
Wait a minute, time out. He said in another few decades. It's been over 30 years. Do we still have rainforests?
I think we do. Yeah.
Okay.
I noticed that as well. When I was watching.
Represent right. Brand new challenges that call for a new kind of response.
Rush, I've listened to you many afternoons, as you know, and you tend to, I don't want to say you dismiss all of these issues, but at least you dismiss them as having been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Well, absolutely. I don't think that there's anything conclusive about what Senator Gore said, with all due respect. I think, for example, there is no ozone hole over the United States. And if we want to get into detailed discussion of ozone depletion, we can. But I think, Ted, that there is not a crisis. See, this is the problem I have. I don't think the Earth is fragile. I don't think the ecology is fragilely balanced. And I think that the doomsday industry that is typified by members of the Hollywood acting community who say we've only got 10 years left to save our planet, we've got to act now. There's no way, if what these people say is true, that we can solve these problems in 10 years anyway. It's budget time in Washington, NASA's being cut, and I think that this fright and doom scenario is designed to frighten people. Everything in this country today seems to be a crisis. We can't do anything without it being having to face it as a crisis. We don't have any time to think about it. There are as many scientists, maybe even more, on the opposite side of all of these doomsday predictions.
Yeah. So I wish Rush were alive. I'd love to hear what he has to say. Why is it, if you disagree with somebody, you know, what an awful way to make a living, you know? That's what they say about Rush Limbaugh. What an awful way to make a living. All he had was anger every day. I didn't hear that. I heard the other guy might be full of shit. And over 30 years later, I think we've proved, right, that Al Gore might well have been full of shit.
I think so. I think so.
And with that, we'll leave you for another week. Until next week, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.